Okay, today for the text, we're going to have the first psalm. If you're using your pew Bible, that's on page 617, psalm number 1. Danny has the reading for us today. If you'll follow along in your Bible, psalm number 1. Thanks, Danny.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
All right, let's thank God for his word. Heavenly Father, you always speak to us, Lord, week after week, and century after century, Lord, you have spoken to your people. And we pray now, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, you would teach us your way, your will, and that we would follow you from this time forth and forever. Pray in Jesus Christ, amen. All right, I thought I would finish off the year with a passage of scripture that puts to us in very plain terms the two paths that lie before each of us. Okay, the end of a year is kind of a milestone. We pause, look back, we consider what's ahead, and we realize we have choices to make. We realize also that we have one less year to go until we get to the end, until we meet our destiny. A lot of Christians love the book of Psalms. For some Christians, it's their favorite book. 150 Psalms. You ever wonder how they got to be in the order they're in? Why is the first one first? And why is the last one last? Why are they divided into five smaller sub-books? Why are some of them like grouped into little groups with similar themes? Who did that? Nobody knows. Some people think maybe it was Ezra did that. Hard to tell. There's really no way to tell. But whoever did it felt that this one was the best one to be first. And I would agree this one is suitable to head up the whole set because it captures simply and briefly the most important themes of human existence: choices, consequences, and destiny. Okay, here is a man's life in a nutshell. God has spoken, God has revealed his will, and each of us responds by living in one of two ways. And the choice that you make will have corresponding results, all culminating in a final judgment. Okay, so the story of your life in all of its complexity and uniqueness and individuality boils down, nevertheless, to this simple little framework. God is there. He has made himself known. Now what? Okay, the ball's in your court. What will you do? You can go this way. You can go that way. Right? The way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly. Okay, you have a choice to make about your relationship to God, who has revealed his will in his law. What about that law? Okay, we have God's word in our possession. Are we going to find out what he said and do it, or are we going to ignore it and do what we want? Okay, because at the end, there is a judgment, and you will either stand in the judgment or you will fall in the judgment. Okay, there's going to be, as it says here, a congregation of the righteous, which is to say that God will gather, he'll congregate them, right? He'll gather his loved ones to him, and the righteous will be welcomed into that congregation, and the sinners will be put out. Okay, that pretty much sums up life, doesn't it? Okay, everything that follows in the book of Psalms, this whole wide range of emotions and experiences, right? All of the sadness, the happiness, the prayers, the praises, the waiting on God, the pleading, the sobbing, you know, all of the different expressions of man's relationship with God and God's acts toward man, that all boils down to, it's all basically just an expansion of what's here in the first psalm. How should a man live and why? Okay, the psalmist gives you a recipe for success, right? Blessed is the man who. All right, so we have a new year coming up, full of choices to make. Every single day you'll be making choices about how to spend your time, about who you'll keep company with, who to listen to, how to conduct yourselves with regard to your speech, your thoughts, your actions. Okay, what are the good choices that will yield good results? Okay, blessed is the man who, or how happy is the man who, and right off the bat we see there's something to avoid and something to seek. So what to avoid? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Okay, these are word pictures. To walk in the counsel of means to live by the advice of. Okay, to listen to somebody and do as they tell you. And to stand in the path of or sit in the seat of mean to imitate the conduct of, right? To be partners with somebody, to accompany them, travel through life with them, and spend time with them and accept their ways. A big part of what shapes your life is who you keep company with. Okay, who do you choose for your associates? Who do you listen to coming at you from the television, the radio, music, movies, the internet? Okay, those are the people who put ideas into your mind, right? Those are the people who influence your choices, your tastes, and your values. Okay, we all have a friend group. What kind of people do you admit into close friendship? We always meet new people. Some are good, some are bad, godly and ungodly. We have to decide how much influence we're going to let them have over us. People that come to us through the media, okay, you don't actually meet them in person, but you get their ideas, right? Their values come at you and their behavior and their views on life. They have an effect on our own. And the scripture says you have to avoid certain kinds of people, right? You have to reject certain kinds of advice. You have to exclude certain people from friendship. Okay, my son, if sinners entice you, do not go in with them. Okay, in Psalm 101, David says this, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It will not cling to me. He who has a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Right? I will not have fellowship with wickedness. Whoever slanders his neighbor, I will destroy him from my presence. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be rather on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell in my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Okay, verse 1 here of Psalm 1 has these three parallel words, the ungodly, the sinner, the scornful, or the way I learned it, it's the scoffer, okay? And you can easily recognize those qualities when you see them in a person, right? People who resent God, people who laugh at God and his people, people who mock the word, refuse God, disobey God, maybe even while pretending to be religious, okay? People who are proud, disdainful, sarcastic, unruly. Paul tells Timothy, have nothing to do with such. Okay, so this requires a measure of discernment, good judgment, and setting some boundaries in your life. Like I just said, this coming year is bound to be just as crazy as the one that just ended, or more so. A lot of voices are going to be coming to us. Okay, and you, how are you going to decide who you listen to, whose advice to accept, whose to reject? The first line of the first psalm tells you, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, maybe your mom or dad used to tell you, consider the source. Did your parents ever tell you that? Consider the source, right? is this person sinful or are they holy? Is a person godly or ungodly? Are they scornful about the things of God or are they submissive? Right? Consider the source. Liars lie. Hateful people hate. Okay? And time is running short and you and I have to make choices, wise choices about who we're going to listen to. So here's what Isaiah said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, they have no light in them. Okay? Go to the word of God. Whoever's offering you counsel from not from in this word of God, okay? They're not speaking according to the light. So that's verse 2. What to seek instead. Okay, that was what to avoid. What do you seek? Well, his light, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Right? Blessed is that man who rejects the ungodly, the sinner, the scoffer, and he pursues with intentionality the words rather that came out of the mouth of God. Okay, Jesus said that the things that a man stores up in his heart, that's what's going to come out of his mouth. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, Proverbs says. So you have to be careful what's going in, because what goes in makes you who you are, and who you are has consequences, right? Who you are affects your destiny. So does the psalmist recommend that you take in a little bit of the word of God or a lot of the word of God? Okay, he recommends you take in a lot of the word of God, right? Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. There's a new year about to begin, and you will all make choices about how much and how often you're going to take in the word of God. So just a little bit, once in a while, is that the man who's blessed? Okay, would you say that that man's delight is in the law of the Lord and on his law he meditates day and night? No. Okay, if you delight in something, you want a lot of it, right? You take it often. And in fact, in the law itself, the Lord told Israel this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I'd say that's day and night. Okay, I'm always setting the word of God before me. It's always, okay, we're thinking about and talking about what does God want us to do? How should we handle this situation in our life right now? What does God's word say about what's currently happening in our family right now? Okay, what's right? What's wrong? What do I need to change? What course of action should we take? All the life situations that you will face this year and all the choices you have to make and all the problems you're going to have to deal with, everything that goes on in your home and family and work, God's word has something to say to you about it. Okay, blessed are you if you meditate on God's word and guide your choices by it and apply it to your problems, which means you've got to take it in first. Okay, which means, saints, reading your own Bible, right, that's foremost, but also reading good quality Christian books, listening to faithful biblical preachers, letting the Holy Spirit teach you wisdom. Okay, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jude says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit and keeping yourselves in the love of God. That's day and night. Paul tells Timothy, give yourself to it. Give yourself to it. Right? Not just a little bit once in a while. Day and night, thinking about the things of God, his law, his gospel, his son. Okay, you will find out. The word of God is sweet as honey and as precious as gold. Right? It's life and health and peace. And the fruits of it, okay, the result, I said here's a recipe for success. How do you define success? Well, again, going on in the psalm, this is typical Hebrew fashion, word pictures. Okay, verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Okay, that's a healthy tree, a strong tree. It brings forth its fruit in season, and its leaves do not wither. Right? Why do you plant a tree? Well, you plant it for fruit, you plant it for shade, you plant it so it'll flourish, right? You water it so it'll flourish. Trees that are planted in dry places, they don't do so well. They shrivel up, they turn brown, they give lousy fruit. Trees planted by the water, well, they thrive. Okay, how blessed is the man? How happy is the man? Right? Whatever he does prospers. That could be you. Right? You could be happy, thriving, flourishing, strong, healthy, fruitful. Right? Whatever he does prospers. That depends, though, on the choices that you will make. Okay, a certain kind of man becomes healthy and strong, like a tree by the waterside. It's not the man who neglects the word of God, though. It's not a man who stands with sinners and sits with scoffers. And okay, you remember Jesus' parable? I keep coming to this fig tree year after year after year, and there's never any fruit on it. Why don't you cut this tree down and get rid of it? Why does it use up the space? And the attendant says, Master, let me fertilize it one more year, and then we'll see. So, you know, it depends on the choices that you make, right? You have another year being presented to you, one more year, okay? You've been told the recipe for success is to feed yourself on God's word and delight in it and contemplate it and turn it over in your mind and apply it to the situations in your life, okay? Drink it in, right? And you'll be a green tree, okay? So there's a road up by where we live called Green Tree Road. And I thought, well, this is it. You know, here's Psalm number one. That could be the title of this psalm, Green Tree Road. You know, here's the way to life and health, how to become a green tree. Whatever he does shall prosper. Okay, now as for the ungodly, it says, not so. Dried up, dead husks is what they'll be, like the chaff that the wind drives away. I said Psalm 1 has a recipe for success. Well, here's a recipe for destruction, too. Hang out with sinners and mockers of God. Make friends with them. Stay away from people who bring you the word of God. Shut your ears to the voice of God. Follow your own advice. Believe everything you hear on TV. Spend all your time on the things of the world. The wages of sin is death. Okay, it's destruction. I'd say you have two surefire recipes here in this psalm. One for success, one for destruction. One for eternal life, one for damnation. There is a judgment to come, and it will separate the wheat from the chaff, and the wheat will be collected into the barn, and the chaff will be blown away in the whirlwind. Okay, the day of judgment is the single most important event that lies in your future. Your whole life's outcome will be fixed permanently. Whatever the particulars of it were, whatever your living conditions were, your income, your salary, and all that, your job, all of it boils down to one of two things, salvation or damnation. Okay, and that is why it is important that Psalm number one gets this right out on the table, right out of the gate, because that's going to be, in the end, the only thing that mattered. And it's also why Psalm number two is where it is, right after Psalm number one, the Messiah, right? The Son of God, salvation personified, the kingdom of God, put into his hands, the world given to him for his possession forever. I am the way of the righteous. Right? I am the living word of God. I have the water of life. Right? In me you will find a tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. Come to me and I will plant you in the garden of God, a green tree. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, the word says. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That's a mighty tree. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit, even in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. That's because of choices they made. That's because they delighted in the law of the Lord and they put mockers and sinners away from them. That's because they loved the Lord with all their might and they kept his commandments with diligence. Okay, but the nations, why do they rage? Right? Why do the people plot in vain against the Lord and his anointed one? Because they're sinners, they're scoffers, they're the ungodly. Right? They've made their choices and their day is coming. Right? You and I, we have a new year ahead of us. Our destiny is one year closer. Life's about choices. Choices have consequences. Choices shape your destiny. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Sinners shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Right, and then the New Testament in Romans 2 also presents us the two paths that lie before each of us and the choice we each have to make, because it's all coming down to judgment day. Okay, Romans 2 says that God will render to each one according to his deeds. To those who by patient continuance in doing good, who seek for glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, Jew first and also the Greek. But to everyone who works what is good, glory, honor, and peace, Jew first, also to the Greek, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, as my gospel says. That day is a year closer. Okay, it is nearer now than when we first believed. And Paul tells us we've been called to be saints, right? We've been called to be holy ones, holy. Peter says, been called to inherit a blessing. Blessed is the man who, right? If you intend to receive the blessing, then follow the psalmist's recipe for success. Make the right decisions regarding your relationship with God through his son. Okay, take the correct road. Avoid the path that God warns you to avoid and all those who travel on it. Right? Wide is the path leads to destruction. There are many that go that way. Blessed is the man who does not. And make up your mind. You're going to embrace the divine wisdom and the fellowship with God that he urges you to embrace. Right? Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Okay, that's our verse for next year, 2 Timothy 2:22. You can remember it because of all the twos. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord Jesus out of a pure heart. More about Jesus, right? More in 24 than in 23. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord, in the word of God, and you will stand firmly planted, a green tree in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's praise his name together. Let's ask for his blessing. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your life-giving word. Thank you for the written word. Thank you for the living word, your Son, our Savior, our Shepherd, our King, and praise be to God, our friend. Lord Jesus, we hand over the fruits of the year to you. We know, Lord Jesus, that you will preserve what was of eternal value and that what was perishing will perish. And we pray, Lord, that in the year to come, we will serve you fruitfully, that we will drink deeply of your word and learn and grow and expand your kingdom, Lord Jesus Christ. You're worthy of our devotion, our obedience, and our listening ears. So I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters here, that through your Holy Spirit, you would cause us to mature, flourish, and to bear fruit for the honor of your name. I pray in Christ, amen.